All right, y'all, welcome to the show. I'm all set. I'm ready to go today. I got my orange soda here. I'm chilling, drinking it. Letting the caffeine hit me. Actually, I don't even know if this has caffeine, to be honest. Sugar, yeah, caffeine-free. So I'm waiting for the sugar to hit me. And it will, but we got a lot to talk about today. So I'm going to lead in just a second with more absolutely insane genocidal rhetoric. This time coming from a U.S. politician. We will get to a new bombshell report about how Trump might owe another 100 million DZACs. 100 million. Man, when all said and done, he's going to owe like $1 billion. I mean, we're already over half a billion in terms of what he owes. Marjorie Taylor Greene declares war on Fox News. She's definitely punching above her weight. Some Democratic Party elites are absolutely panicking behind the scenes. I have a great video of that. Dave Rubin keeps humiliating himself. And later on, man, you guys are not going to want to miss this story. There's a club of dudes who like to castrate themselves. And then they eat their own balls, bro. What are we talking about here? What the fuck? All right, I'll save it for later. So let's kick it off with this. And everybody knows the deal. Do me a big favor. Subscribe to the channel. It helps out big time in the algorithm. Costs you absolutely nothing. And thank you to everybody who supports the show on Patreon. That link's below, or tips with the thanks button on YouTube. Remember, I never talk to an advertiser. You guys help fund this show from the ground up, and I'm deeply, deeply appreciative over that. Okay, so Lindsey Graham went on one of the Sunday shows. And I mean, I can't believe that this sort of stuff is just casually said. Like, he doesn't think anything of this. He thinks this is just like a nonchalant. This is just a random Tuesday. With a normal point, right? Look at this, bro.
When we were faced with destruction as a nation after Pearl Harbor, fighting the Germans and the Japanese, we decided to end the war by bombing Hiroshima and Nagasaki with nuclear weapons. That was the right decision. Give Israel the bombs they need to end the war they can't afford to lose and work with them to minimize casualties. So can I say this? Why is it okay for America to drop two nuclear bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki to end their existential threat war? Why was it okay for us to do that? I thought it was okay. To Israel, do whatever you have to do to survive as a Jewish state.
I mean, that's not subtle. That's not subtle. He's saying, yeah, nuke Gaza. Go for it. Nuke Gaza. We should give them the weapons they need, and they should do whatever they can in order to remain a Jewish state. And he's bringing up, hey, we were able to nuke people. Why can't they nuke people? All right, so first of all, everybody do yourself a favor. Go watch the Sean Jen video on the nuking of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. It is so well-researched. It's amazing. And he breaks it all down in 1,000 ways. But the bottom line is, the war was already over. We had already won the war. The reason that we nuked Japan was to send a message to the Soviet Union that, hey, we're the biggest, baddest dude on the block now. We run shit. We're the world superpower. So your ass better fall in line. Your ass better not fuck with us. That was the point. It was a flex. It was a flex. That killed hundreds of thousands of innocent civilians. So first of all, it wasn't okay. It wasn't okay to do that. Second of all, we now have a more robust system of international rules and laws. And everybody acknowledges, hey, that's a good thing. It's a good thing that we don't go by the law of the jungle anymore. Everybody acknowledges we shouldn't go by the law of the jungle and might makes right. And so we developed this intricate, complex system of international laws and justice. And he's like, well, why don't we just go back to what we were doing, where people were just the most grotesque, brutal assholes you could ever imagine. And he's, look, I was going to say it's one thing if one random idiot says this, right? It's another thing when now we have a number of instances. So a congressman in the U.S., remember this? Said bomb Gaza like Nagasaki and Hiroshima. Remember that? This was a different congressperson. We also have an Israeli politician. He called for nuking Gaza. Now, he was suspended, but then he was immediately brought back. So the idea, oh yeah, we're really cracking down. No, you're not. He came right back in. So stop and think about it. We have three different instances of politicians in the U.S. and Israel saying to nuke Gaza. I think there's even another one from Israel. And then if I'm not mistaken, I think Lindsey Graham also implied it again previously. So this idea keeps coming up. What's terrifying is that you all know in the actual war cabinet meetings that they're having in Israel, you all know they talked about this. They talked about this. And it seems like to this point, what they settled on was instead of dropping one big ass nuke and killing them all, why don't we just slowly in a drip, drip, drip fashion kill them? And that's why we have 43,000 dead Palestinians now, about 16,000 dead kids, over 10,000 dead women. You have 2 million Gazans homeless out of 2.3 million. Hundreds of thousands of homes destroyed. Virtually all of North Gaza is wiped off the map. UN buildings bombed, hospitals bombed, schools bombed. They decided, basically, let's nuke them by another name. Let's nuke them with a different tactic. It's a nuke that is going to require months and months and months of sustained bombing. And that's what they decided on. But they really just come out and say this, man. It's 2024. They just come out and say, yeah, nuke them. And Lindsey Graham is letting you know, if you guys do it, I'll defend you. I'll defend you. I'll say they had it coming. I'll say they did it for justice. They did it for the right reasons. I mean, I can't imagine this kind of depravity. By the way, this was so depraved. Hamas released a statement and made them sound reasonable. The shocking remarks made by American Senator Lindsey Graham suggesting that the fascist Israeli occupation should bomb Gaza with a nuclear bomb reveal the profound moral decay he has descended to and the mentality of genocide and colonization embedded in him and in other segments of the political elite in the United States. When you guys are so extreme and insane that you make Hamas say something reasonable, because they've also killed civilians, and that's horrible. That's terrorism. But let's call a spade a spade. It's also terrorism when Israel does it, and they've killed way more civilians, both as a raw number and a percentage. And you have people like Lindsey Graham begging Israel to nuke Gaza. Israeli politicians saying, we should nuke Gaza. And then you still have people out there who are dumb enough to deny what we're witnessing. Shit, even CNN released that video explaining in detail about how Israel now has concentration camps. And the pictures coming out of there look exactly like Nazi German stuff. We covered the story of the guy in the West Bank in his own bakery. He got locked in there and the IDF threw in gas and gassed him to death. We're checking every box, dog. We are checking every box here. I can't even tell you the number of times we've seen the argument made. Hey, why don't we go back to the bad old days? Why don't we go back to a time when there wasn't as many rules and laws on the books internationally? So many people are making that argument, and they think that's a good argument. And they also think it's self-evident that, well, of course the U.S. should have nuked hundreds of thousands of innocent civilians in Japan, including many women and children. Why would you think that? Anybody who's familiar with the ins and outs and the specifics of the time knows the war was already over. We shouldn't have done that. That was a massive, massive war crime. So, look, I think this video right here crystallizes the mindset of the rules and the laws don't apply to us. We're the good guys. When we do bad things, it's okay because it's with good intentions and for a good purpose. But they're even willing to stretch that to the absurd conclusion of it wouldn't even matter if us or our allies nuked somebody because we're still the good guys. Really? So then what does it take to be called a bad guy? If nuking millions of people, innocent people, doesn't count you as a bad guy, what's a bad guy? There's 30,000 Hamas members. There's 2.3 million people in Gaza, or at least there were. So then what would a bad guy be? Bad guy could only be our enemies, according to these idiots. Could only be our enemies. Our allies are never the bad guy. And that's how we get to a place where the U.S. arms and funds 73% of the world's dictatorships. And Lindsey Graham sees nothing wrong with that, and he'll still go out there and pretend like we push democracy and freedom around the world. It's beyond laughable, man. I don't know how this stuff is even allowed to be said, right? You want to talk about the few exceptions to free speech? Well, one of those would be a direct threat of violence. He's telling Israel, nuke Gaza. How is that not the most direct threat of violence we've ever seen? Wild, bro. Wild. All right, y'all. We got more Trump financial problems here. Bombshell New York Times report claims Trump could owe $100 million after double dipping on tax claims. Former President Trump could owe the IRS more than $100 million after claiming dubious tax breaks on his skyscraper in Chicago, a bombshell New York Times report revealed. The Chicago Tower, Trump's most recent major construction project and completed in 2009, has been a huge money loser since building began. But the IRS is accusing Trump of writing off his losses twice, effectively double dipping on the tax benefits gained from the tower's financial losses. The Times reported that Trump's tax return in 2008 claimed the building was worthless because the debt was too great to ever turn a profit. He reported losses of up to $651 million, according to the Times investigation, which it did in partnership with ProPublica. In 2010, the report states, Trump moved the company that owned the tower into a new partnership. Because he controlled both companies, it was like moving coins from one pocket to another, according to the Times. Then he used the shift as a justification to declare $168 million in additional losses over the next decade. The Times reported the move has been subject to a years-long, but until now unknown, investigation by the IRS that is still going on. In a statement given to the Times, Trump's son Eric, who is executive vice president of the Trump Organization, said this matter was settled years ago, only to be brought back to life once my father ran for office. We are confident in our position, which is supported by opinion letters from various tax experts, including the former general counsel of the IRS. Okay, so look, they're going to go through this. They're going to adjudicate this. But basically, the argument is this. You took a deduction in 2008. For this property, and then in 2010, you shifted the financial assets into another company, and you took a deduction again for it. And you're double dipping on your tax breaks, and you're going to owe $100 million, because we see the little sleight of hand trick you did there. Who am I inclined to believe at this moment? Who's telling the truth? I mean, I'm going to go ahead and side with the IRS, as opposed to the guy who was just found guilty of business fraud, insurance fraud, and tax fraud. So look, when you put all the civil cases together, man, he owes a lot of fucking money. Holy shit. He owes so much money. So you had, what, $100 million or thereabouts when it came to E. Jean Carroll and the defamation case and the sexual assault or whatever it was. So you got that. Then you have the $454 million for the various kinds of fraud that he was caught doing in the state of New York. Cracked his ass over that. And they might add another $100 million. So we're looking at what? If it was 450, was the 454, 464, was that with or without the E. Jean Carroll amount? I think that's with. So let's go about 450. So it'd be like $550 million. Jesus, bro. So he would owe $550 million DZACs. At what point does he's got to declare bankruptcy, right? At some point. Even without this extra $100 million. You're in bankruptcyville, right? So look, that opens up all the speculation, right? If he doesn't declare bankruptcy, which he wouldn't want to, because that's his brand, is I'm the guy who's never gone bankrupt, even though his businesses went bankrupt six times. He never personally went bankrupt. He might throw another business bankruptcy on that. Might need a personal bankruptcy on it. But look, if he doesn't, then it's like, where the fuck are you getting your money from, bro? And that's where, you know, in step all the stories about how Jared Kushner took $2 billion from Saudi Arabia. And we know there was a tit for tat. We know he was sharing classified information with Mohammed bin Salman. Mohammed bin Salman personally intervened to say, give him the $2 billion. How much money is Trump getting for the live golf events that are happening at his courses? It's at least tens of millions, maybe hundreds of millions. You know, he just did that little Truth Social maneuver where he's trying to cash out on that in order to stay afloat to pay off some of this stuff. But like, at some point you got a question. Who are the Saudi sugar daddies? Who are the Israeli sugar daddies? Who are the corporate sugar daddies? You know he's got billionaires left and right that are willing to throw money at him to save his ass, knowing that, hey, this guy, he's the favorite to be president again. So I'll get whatever the fuck I want when he's in there. And we saw it already previously. He took $100 million from Sheldon Adelson on two separate occasions, and then he moved the embassy to Jerusalem. That's exactly what Sheldon Adelson wanted. Did the Abraham Accords. He let Sheldon Adelson run our foreign policy, basically. Sheldon Adelson paid to run our foreign policy vis-a-vis Israel, and Trump let him do it. He greenlit it. And so he already did it. He's probably going to do that times 10 the next time around, because now he's in debt up to the gills, bro. He's in debt up to the gills. So I think it is fair to call this a genuine national security threat, right? The liberals missed the mark with the whole Russiagate bullshit. It was never about Russia. It was always about Israel. It was always about Saudi Arabia. It was always about the billionaires who can control them. And now he would be even more in debt to them. So, goddamn, another $100 million. You're talking over $500 million he would owe for his various crimes. You don't think there's a risk there, having that guy in the White House? We live in a movie. The more I read these stories, the more I feel like we live in a movie, man. And I don't think this is one of those movies that ends well. So Marjorie Taylor Greene, you all know that she was on the warpath against Mike Johnson, the current Republican Speaker of the House, and she wanted to get him ousted. And she filed for it. She was ready to go. She got Thomas Massie and Paul Gosar on her side. But the rest of the Republican caucus was basically like, hey, fuck off. We're not doing this again. It was done to McCarthy. That was bad. We didn't like that. Now we won't like this either. We're going to let Mike Johnson do his thing. Well, Marjorie Taylor Greene wasn't buying it, and she was on the warpath calling him a sellout, saying, how dare you do the deal to send more money to Israel and Ukraine and Taiwan. And she thinks he's in on the big spending of the Biden administration or whatever the fuck. She's got her rationalizations and her justifications. But what happened is Trump personally intervened. And Trump said, hey, Marjorie, pump your brakes. So Trump stood with Mike Johnson. Now, that's what makes this video so interesting. So now she's still doing the Republican Civil War shit. Her and Bannon are going to take direct aim at Fox News. She's going to punch above her weight here and go after Fox News. Let's watch, and I'll break it down for you as we go.
Historical moment. Mm-hmm. We've played this thing. We've run the sprockets off it. It's dramatic. The audience loves it. Fox News, Murdoch News. And you have to understand, this is why they are controlled opposition and trying to tap you along.
Right.
In one of the most MSNBC cuts to it, CNN cuts it because it's news. Even the propaganda channels have to do it. It's a dramatic moment. Fox News is not cut to that. Your thoughts, ma'am?
Yeah. So you got to remember Fox News that literally fired Tucker Carlson, the number one cable TV news host in the nation. Tucker, who was basically the voice of everyone. That's the Fox News that refused to cover me calling the motion to vacate. The five never switched gears. They never changed, never went to anything different. Fox News wants to control what Republican voters think. And the control and the information that they give you is the establishment Republican Party view, the Bush view, the Cheney view, the same view that led us into the Iraq War, claiming that there was weapons of mass destruction. They want to make their viewers think that we have to fight for Ukraine, that we have to stop Putin because he's going to steamroll across Europe just like Hitler did, even though there's no evidence of showing that. The same Fox News refuses to say, hey, let's call for peace for these people in Ukraine instead of wiping out an entire generation of Ukrainians. Think about that. This is the same Fox News that wants to infuriate you every single day while Republicans go down to the border, drag out the podium once again, point it. Oh, look, they're crossing the border. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my. But yet Republicans don't do a damn thing to actually stop it.
They also blocked the Democratic bill that was super militaristic and hardline and cracked down on border crossings. And Marjorie Taylor Greene also was against that bill. So she could point the finger at herself for that one. But let me stop interjecting. I want her to finish up here.
We could have stopped it in our appropriations. We could change all kinds of things. We have the Speaker of the House, the most powerful position in the Republican Party, third in line to the president. The Speaker can do anything he wants to do if he's willing to do it. But we have a Speaker that's so weak that an 80-year-old man with dementia is able to fool him. This is where we are. And Fox News wants to make sure that you guys don't have your own opinion, that you only have the opinion that Fox News tells you to have. And that's why Fox News attacks Steve Bannon. That's why Fox News attacks Charlie Kirk. And that's why Fox News would love to murder Tucker Carlson. And that's the reality. And that's why Fox News is losing viewers, because I think you guys are smart. The American people are too smart, and you're tired of being fed outrage TV and watching and voting and donating to Republicans that don't do a damn thing about it. And I think that's where we're turning the corner, Steve, and I hope to God we continue turning that corner.
No, it's Charlie Kirk, Jack Posobiec, Tucker. It's not us saying it. It's Politico has a huge piece of how Fox News saved Johnson. Rupert Murdoch stepped in to save Johnson because you had Tucker Carlson, you had the Real America's Voice War Room guys, you had Charlie Kirk, you had Jack Posobiec, of course, all the Real America Voice hosts all over. Why have we not used our leverage?
I love this. Oh, I love this so much. What are they leaving out? What are they leaving out? Oh, that's right. They're leaving out that their favorite politician of all time, whose ball sack they coddle and massage on a daily basis, he intervened and said, leave Mike Johnson alone. Mike Johnson is MAGA. He's a great guy. Let's stop the infighting before the election. So you guys are shooting in every which you're shooting in every which direction, except where the big dog is. Except where the big dog is. Why? Why? Oh, yeah, we're the big bull. I love his, like, list of big, bold truth tellers. Jack Posobiec and Charlie Kirk and, oh, yes, all these brave, unorthodox thinker. They really are bucking orthodoxy all the time. So all of you guys are going to go to war with Fox News, which, hey, I love that. Keep doing it. I like when she was listening. They refer to the Iraq war. Listen, yeah, hey, hit them. Hit them all day. Hit them all day, every day. But they won't aim their guns at Trump, even though Trump disagrees with them. Trump is the one who intervened to save Mike Johnson. They won't say it. Why? Why? Look, my guess is they know that's their audience. That's their audience. That's where their bread is buttered. By all the Trump supporters. These guys are supposed to be the vanguard of the Trump campaign and, in their mind, the next Trump administration. They're the ones who are really the policy agenda setters, and they're the ones who are the leaders and all that. And it's like, okay, you don't have a single word for Trump betraying you on this? For Trump supporting Mike Johnson? That's just got to be audience capture. You're just afraid to go against Trump and have your audience leave you. And so instead, you turn your guns on Fox News. Now, they're probably right that Fox News was there backing Mike Johnson, but if Trump was too, why are you guys only shooting at Fox? But I love this stuff, man. I love this stuff. I want them to keep fighting. I want them to keep fighting. The hatred for Mike Johnson is hilarious to me because any Republican would have done exactly what Mike Johnson has been doing, right? To be fair, they act like, hey, we don't want the funding of Israel and Ukraine and all that stuff. But you think if it was Kevin McCarthy still, he wouldn't have done that? Of course he would have done that. It didn't matter who the speaker was. They were going to get that shit through no matter what, bro. They were going to get it through. And so they're trying to fight, but when you won't even call out your biggest opponent, you're never going to win that fight. This reminds me of the so-called progressive caucus, how, you know, the very rare instances where they'll stand up and fight, they'll never say the name of the Democratic president. They'll never go directly at Joe Biden and say, hey, man, this is on you. They'll never do it. Hey, we're not getting Medicare for all. We're not even getting a public option. That's on you, bro. We're not getting $15 minimum wage. You're not fighting enough, bro. They'll never do that. They'll never target the person who actually is the leader and who is responsible. And now the so-called anti-establishment right-wingers are doing the same shit. Not bringing up Trump, not attacking Trump, even though he's the main problem here. You can go after Fox News all you want, but if you're not going to go after the person who really sets the agenda, Donald Trump, what are you doing? What are you doing? So all this big bad, nobody's going to hold me down. Nobody's going to tell me what to say and what to think and what my position is. Blah, blah, blah. Really? Well, Trump's against you. I'm sorry, Daddy. There's a lot of that going on there. So Democratic strategist and elitist James Carville, he is apparently flipping out and losing it because he's starting to see the writing on the wall when it comes to Biden and the campaign and how they're doing. So let's watch some of this video and then we'll break it down.
And Trump's more ahead than he's ever been. Fewer people think January 6th was any kind of what it was. It was an assault on the temple of democracy, the Constitution. I don't know whatever the fuck you want to say. It's going the wrong way. It's not working. Everything that we're throwing is...
Why does this look like it's like a... like he's in jail? This video looks like it's shot where he's in jail, right? He's locked up somewhere.
Spaghetti at a wall, and none of it is sticking. Me included. And it's hard when you're starting your 80th year. And you know, like anybody else, I have an opinion of myself. And the opinion I've come to is, I don't matter. It doesn't matter. You can prepare. You can be on TV. Or you can write pieces. You can have a YouTube channel. You can have a podcast. And nothing. And, you know, we got to, like, try to think of something different, because what we're doing is really, really not working.
Huh. This video is actually really interesting to me, because look, in one way, he's better than like all the mainstream media ghouls. In this way, he's better. He's actually acknowledging the reality that the polls are devastating, that even in the best polls now, they're tied. And this is Trump. You should be 20 points up on Donald Trump. It shouldn't even be close. It should be a fucking blowout. But he's acknowledging, like, nah, bro, nothing's working. Nothing's working. Trump's fucking eating our lunch here. Now, that's the part how he's better, because he's acknowledging the reality. Okay. How is he worse? Well, he acts like it's a total fucking mystery, right? Like, oh, bro, what do we do? Here, let's just watch again. He's like, man, nothing's working. And he's like, I don't even know what the fuck to do anymore. I'll explain that.
Trump's more ahead than he's ever been. Fewer people think January 6th was any kind of what it was. It was an assault on the temple of democracy, the Constitution. I don't know whatever the fuck you want to say. It's going the wrong way. It's not working. Everything that we're throwing is spaghetti at a wall, and none of it is sticking, me included. And it's hard when you start in your 80th year, and you know, like anybody else, I have an opinion of myself. And the opinion I've come to is, I don't matter. It doesn't matter. You can prepare, you can be on TV, or you can write pieces, you can have a YouTube channel, you can have a podcast, and nothing. And, you know, we got to, like, try to think of something different, because what we're doing is really, really not working.
It's not a mystery, bro. It's just not. It's just not a mystery. Hey, what should he do in order to, like, you know, reverse this thing and get better? If Joe Biden were to come out tomorrow and he were to say, we're cutting off all the money, we're cutting off all the weapons going to Israel, we're also going to condemn Israel at the UN, we're going to sign on to the UN General Assembly move to grant the Palestinians a state, we're going to sanction Ben-Gavir and Smotrich and Netanyahu, and we're now going to be a true arbiter for peace in the Middle East, and we're going to hold the war criminals accountable. We're going to side with the International Criminal Court and issue an arrest warrant for Netanyahu. Now, we all know this world does not exist, will not exist. It's a bit of a fantasy to say this, but it's also how this should be handled. If Biden were to come out and do that, immediate 5-point bump in the polls, right? You got everybody who is like Biden skeptical. Hey, I don't know if I'm going to vote for him or if I'm going to go third party, whatever. Half of those people would be like, okay, I'll vote for him. So that's one thing. That's one thing you could do. The biggest failures have been on Gaza and Israel. And then the other biggest failure was letting all the COVID era social safety net support systems go away. There was a sunset provision on them. They let them all go away. So people are feeling the hurt financially. Yes, the unemployment rate is low. Yes, the stock market is doing good, but that's not a good indication of how your average American is doing. So you would need to give some sort of financial support to the bottom rung of the economic ladder and the middle class. Give some sort of financial, I don't know what, you could do it in whatever form you want, right? Some sort of a UBI check, for example, would be phenomenal. Extending the child tax credit, that would be phenomenal. There's a number of ways you could do it. What you need is financial support for the middle class and the poor, and to immediately end the genocide in Gaza and hold people accountable for all the war crimes. If Biden were to come out and do that, we'd be looking at a different race, man. We'd be looking at a different race. But he didn't do that. Look, he was trending to be a favorite in the election relatively comfortably until Gaza. He was. And if we lived in the world where he did everything I just said there, he would have a 5-point lead. He would have a 10-point lead. But the fact of the matter is, Democrats are so condescending to their base, and they scold and hate their base so much that it makes it so that they're really hesitant to vote for them. Right? You got all these young people on college campuses out there protesting the genocide, and Biden goes out there and calls them anti-Semites. You know, implies they're pro-Hamas. Snuggles up to Bibi Netanyahu, a far-right extremist in an ethno-state and a theocracy that we prop up artificially. It's not, so my point is, It's not some sort of like a mystery. Oh, what do we do? We're throwing all these things against the wall and nothing's sticking. We know what the answers are. We know what they are. But he doesn't see them. Well, at least he sees, oh, this is not good. At least he sees that a tied race with Trump or a race where Trump's up 3 points, that's beyond embarrassing. And it sure is. And now what's the DNC doing to try to combat that? I don't know. Let's go virtual with our convention because we don't want protests. So in other words, your strategy is stick your head in the sand and pretend that everything's okay. That ain't going to work out, bro. Oh, Dave Rubin's been having a rough one, y'all. He's been having a rough one. So, you know, recently he went after Crystal, and that didn't go very well for him. That didn't go very well for him. Only Dave would, like, be dumb enough to cheer on the IDF propagandists who are humiliating themselves on TV on a daily basis. But that's what he did. Cheered on the IDF propagandists. You will never meet another person who's more supportive of a genocidal campaign than Dave Rubin is of Netanyahu's campaign in Gaza. So, so now he's going to flex that, he's going to flex that geopolitical muscle. He knows so much about global politics. He's going to go out there and really enlighten you about what he's on top of now, the issue he's on top of now. And that issue happens to be Brazil. So let's hear his thoughts. This is going to be glorious.
Paulo Figueiredo, he is basically the Joe Rogan of Brazil, because I wanted to shed some light on what's going on in Brazil right now. We're also working on getting Javier Bolsonaro. I always call him Bolsonaro.
He got both names wrong. Javier Bolsonaro. Not try again. Bolsonaro. It's Jair Bolsonaro, not Javier. Oh my God, bro. Bro. You do this for a living, Dave. You do this for a living. Don't insult your fucking audience. Know a little bit. He got both names wrong. And he's trying to get homie on the show. Oh my God.
Bolsonaro. I always call him Bolsonaro. So we're working on a couple of things as it relates to Brazil, but you'll really enjoy the interview. It's coming out next week, and there's a huge problem there because Lula is now the president, and he is a communist, and many people feel that the election was rigged. It's a big freaking mess.
So, in other words, y'all don't worry. Dave Rubin is on top of Javier Bolsonaro versus Lula. Don't worry, he's going to release an interview that'll blow your mind with how factual and enlightening it is. Javier Bolsonaro and Lula. Look, for those of you who don't know, it's okay. You don't do this for a living. It's okay. The name is Jair Bolsonaro, and the name is Lula. The name is Lula. And by the way, that's his nickname. He couldn't even get his nickname right. Oh my God. Bro. Look, let me just say this. And I mean this sincerely. To anybody out there who's in favor of right-wing content, God bless you, man. You do your thing. I'm not hating. You do your thing. But can I offer a word of advice here? Go with somebody not named Dave Rubin. For all the beefs I have with Ben Shapiro, he's a much better propagandist. Like, at least he has that sort of arrogance and certitude and confidence and surface level knowledge of, like, the names of foreign country leaders who he wants to talk about. At least there's something there. His sort of, like, geeky, fast-talking style is not my cup of tea, but I would prefer the geeky, fast-talking style where the dude knows the leaders of these countries more than the total fucking moron who can't even get the basic names right of the thing that he's apparently really interested in and doing interviews about and covering. Fuck, go pick big forehead-ass Charlie Kirk, diaper-wearing Charlie Kirk over Dave Rubin. You give me a list of the right-wing commentators, Dave Rubin is literally at the bottom. He is dead last on the right-wing propagandist list. So in other words, my point is, if you follow right-wing politics and you watch Dave Rubin and that's the guy, dude, bruh, That is a mistake, bro. That is a mistake. You'll get much more convincing propaganda from the likes of a Ben Shapiro, right? Shit, even Steven Crowder is more entertaining than this motherfucker. You name a right-wing host, and that person does a better job than Dave Rubin does. Javier Bolsonaro. I mean, Bolsonaro. And Lulu. This comment right here says it all. If only Michael Brooks could see this clip. Rest in peace to the late, great Michael Brooks. Man, he would have had a field day with this shit, bro. He would have had a field day with this. I can't get out of my shocked face. I'm still shocked at how, like, what do we just watch? What do we just watch? It's like he's doing a parody of himself, right? This is a parody of himself. I'm all about ideas. This is a parody of himself. What if I'm Dave Rubin and I didn't know the name of either one of the world leaders that I'm about to talk about? And you could also tell, final point. You could also just tell he doesn't really care about this stuff, right? I think I've told this story before, but I'll tell it again. Dave Rubin, back when he was with the TYT network, me and him used to talk every now and then. And he was the only person ever that I met that's in this business that flat out asked me, what's your end goal? To be on TV? You want to be on TV? And I thought it was the weirdest thing in the world. I'm here. I'm doing what I love. I'm doing it the way I want to do it. I don't have any bosses, right? I'm doing the thing. And I basically told him, like, no, like, I'm doing what I want to do. But he was always a guy that it's like, what's the end goal? Where do I want to be? Everything is a stepping stone to get to something better in terms of getting your name bigger and getting famous. And so he stumbled on the political angle. And you could tell his heart's not in it. You could tell he doesn't give a fuck, bro. You could tell he doesn't care. You could tell this isn't, he's not all about this political junkie life, right? It's screaming out from everything he does. And this is just another example of it right here. You know, we've talked about the idea a couple of times that the arc of history is long, but it bends towards justice. And I told you guys that in recent years, I've concluded, I don't think that's true. There used to be a time where I definitely bought that theory. I was convinced it was real. But I don't think that's true. Because we've seen, in too many ways, we've rolled back the clock and gone in the wrong direction that I now feel like it ain't bending towards justice. I believe more in like a chaos theory that sometimes things get better, sometimes things get worse, but it's all about, you know, a confluence of factors and who's putting in the work at the moment and what are the corrupting influences. And so I just believe we're on a fucking roller coaster when it comes to the arc of history. And nothing's off the table in terms of having a resurgence, right? And this is more evidence to it right here. Look at this. This is an Axios. Virginia School Board votes to restore schools' Confederate names. So they got rid of them, but now they were like, nah, let's bring them back. Bro, what? A Virginia school board voted early Friday to reinstate the original Confederate names of two public schools. The Shenandoah County School Board's 5-1 vote in favor of the move appears to be the first such action since authorities began removing Confederate symbols from U.S. institutions and public spaces in 2020 following a racial justice protest that erupted after the murder of George Floyd. The vote reverses the board's decision in 2020 to remove the local elementary and high school's association with Civil War era Confederate leaders Stonewall Jackson, Robert E. Lee, and Turner Ashby. Consequently, Mountain View High School will revert to being called Stonewall Jackson High School, and Honey Run Elementary School will again be called Ashby Lee Elementary School. The Coalition for Better Schools, a local conservative group, that's amazing. They call themselves the Coalition for Better Schools. Let's name them after Confederates to make them better. Pushed for the change, saying in a letter to the school board that the group believes that revisiting this decision is essential to honor our community's heritage and respect the wishes of the majority. Turner Ashby was a Confederate cavalry commander who owned and enslaved people and advocated violence against Northern abolitionists, per Axios's justice and race reporter Russell Contreras. Ashby served under Thomas Stonewall Jackson, a general who was known to have owned 6 enslaved people. Ty Seidel's 2021 book, Robert E. Lee and Me, A Southerner's Reckoning with the Myth of the Lost Cause, details how statues to Jackson and other Confederate leaders came in 20th century eras to symbolize racial terror as white Southerners embraced a revisionist history about the Civil War. Defenders of Confederates downplay the criticism and say it's about history, Contreras notes. Quote, The funds required to implement the restoration must be provided by private donations exclusively and not be borne by the school system or government tax funds, though the Shenandoah County Public Schools will oversee disbursements relating to restoration costs. Now, this is crazy to me. Look, here's my position. I have like a unique position on this. If you were to come to me and say, hey, our schools have these names. They're after Confederate generals or Confederate figures. But let's be honest. They've been in place for 60 years. People don't even fucking know what the name is on the shit. They just think of it as that's the school, right? It doesn't even occur to them. Like, oh, you know, that's connected to this and that's connected to this. In that scenario, if you tell me, hey, is it a moral necessity to change it? I go, I don't fucking care and I don't know. We got bigger problems to worry about than the name of a school, right? Way more things that we could focus on. So in that sense, I was kind of agnostic on this whole movement in the first place, right? But then if you have a set of facts where in a lot of places, they've already changed the name. They've already said enough with the Confederate thing. Let's just name it Beautiful Morning School, you know, Glorious Sunset School, whatever the fuck you want to call it. Flowing River High, whatever. And it's been like that for years. And then you come to me and say, hey, let's switch it back to being Confederate names. In that scenario, I go, what the fuck is wrong with you? Because look, in that scenario, it's no longer a plausible argument to be like, it's about the history, right? You can make the history argument if it's been the case that the schools are named this for 50 or 60 years and nobody even knows who the name is of the dude that's on the school. Hey, it is what it is. We've always called it this. Even if we change the name, it'd be hard for us to sort of say the new name because we're so used to calling it the other name. It's just part of the history. Just leave it. You have a plausible argument if you never changed it. But once you change it, you can't change it back, dog. You cannot change it back. Because then you're saying, no, I'm affirmatively making the case. We should name it after the Confederate thing and fuck the history argument. Now, if you want to go with history, hey, for the past 2-3 years or whatever it's been, 4 years maybe, we've had it as a different name. Now the history cuts in that direction. What about the history of the past 4 years of us calling it this? Why would you change that? Now people are used to calling it this. Why would you change it back? So call it what it is. The people who want to change it back, look, this is the thing, maybe I'm naive. I've said that a million times on this show. Maybe I'm naive. But I naively thought like, hey, man, maybe people mean that shit when they say it's just, hey, it's just history. It's not hate. Maybe they mean that. But then you get something like this and it's like, no, y'all never meant that. Never meant that. You mean I want to pay homage to the Confederate asshole because I think low-key the Confederates were right. If you're changing it back, okay, let me make the comparison here. Because this really is the closest comparison. We all know that after Nazi Germany fell, they basically blew up all the relics of Nazi Germany. They said, fuck the statues, fuck the buildings, fuck anything that reminds anybody of anything that had to do with that moment. Fuck Goebbels, fuck Himmler, fuck Hitler, fuck all of them, right? Blow it all up. There's no more remnants. Because they knew, hey, if anything remains, it'll be a shrine to these people in the eyes of the psychopaths who still love them. Could you imagine? They get rid of all of it. And then fast forward a few years and they're like, hey, we just want to bring back like a little Goebbels statue or name the school after Himmler. Everybody be like, oh, you're psychos. So you have this horrific ideology. You still believe this shit. And that's what I think it is here, bro. You can't just go back to some Confederate shit and act like, nah, it's not even about the fact that they're Confederate. It's just history. Well, we already had made the change. Now the history cuts in the other direction. Let's go back to naming it after the Confederate. Come on, bro. I don't know how you could do it. Look, I want to reiterate. In the moment when people were first talking about changing the names, I'd be like, people don't even know who they are. Fuck it. It's fine. You could just leave it. Who cares? But once you change it to go back, that's an extra fuck you, bro. That's an extra fuck you. And remember, as they point out in this article, and this is something when you read the history, you find it out very quickly. They purposefully started naming shit after them as a fuck you to the black community. That's why they did it. That whole Confederate flag, a lot of people don't know this. The flag, when I say the Confederate flag, the flag that you think of, that wasn't the original Confederate flag during the Civil War. It wasn't. The one that you and I think of as the Confederate flag, that came about during the Civil Rights era as a particular fuck you to the civil rights movement. So the whole point was, we're going to be regressive assholes. We're going to be regressive assholes. And yeah, we actually agree with the Confederates and we're with them. And fuck you, stay in your place. Right? That's where we are, bro. So anyway, arc of history is long, but bends towards justice. Please. Please. It's chaos. It's chaos. And in this instance, and I'm sure in many others, we're rolling that clock backwards. And this is on some shit where it's like, nobody was taking the name of the schools personally before they had changed it, right? It's just, hey, it is what it is. But now there was change to something better. And then you roll the clock back. Now it is an even bigger fuck you. People are like, God damn, you must really hate black people, huh? Apparently they do. Apparently they do. When I came across this story, I immediately thought, I'm going to have to show you because I can't be the only one looking at this, man. If I had to learn about this, you're going to have to learn about it too. Bear with me. Roll with the punches here. This is in the New York Post. Castration Club's alleged ringleader who made testicle salad sentenced to 22 years in prison. Now, when I first read that, I thought, none of that makes any sense. None of that makes any sense. I'm going to read this article. It's going to be something totally unrelated. Wrong. The alleged ringleader of a British-based body modification club responsible for the castrations of nearly 60 men will spend at least the next 22 years behind bars. Over 6 years, UK officials alleged Norwegian-born Marius Gustafsson, 46, earned close to $250,000 through his website, Eunuch Maker. You know what a eunuch is, right? The subscriber-only site featured footage of the actual castrations of group members. Gustafsson pleaded guilty to 5 counts of causing grievous bodily harm with intent. He was sentenced to a minimum of 22 years incarceration. Many members of the castration club had their healthy body parts, typically the genitals, removed surgically. Others damaged their own testicles to such a degree, doctors had to amputate. The group's faithful dubbed themselves nullos, as in genital nullification. In court, prosecutors alleged Gustafsson kept the lopped off body parts for consumption later on. He once cooked up some testicles for lunch, laying them out as part of an artfully arranged salad platter, the court heard. Gustafsson also admitted to freezing a man's leg so severely it had to be medically removed. Gustafsson, who uses a wheelchair due to his own amputation, told the Irish Independent newspaper in a February 2022 interview he willingly had his leg, penis, and part of his nipple removed by the group because he wanted to look like a Ken doll down there. What does that even mean, bro? What does that even mean? I'm guessing this is the website? This is the website. Eunuch Maker. And look at this picture. Bro, how the fuck do you have a castration club website? And why does this look so fucking professional? Why does it look like it's a multi-million dollar corporation that's running this shit? First of all, where'd you get this picture from? This better be AI generated. Second of all, why does this look like it's some high-level ass shit? Man, I'm apparently still a little baby. Because I never would have thought in a million years that a club like this existed. You're telling me there's a club where dudes get together and chop each other's dicks off and balls off, and then they eat those shits? And then also some of them are like, hey, I want to go further. Let me chop off my leg or my arm or my nipple. How the fuck could this be something that people want to do, right? Like, I could understand. We've talked about this on the show. There's some illness that makes people feel like a limb that is one of their arms or legs or whatever, they feel like it's foreign and they're never happy until it's gone. But those cases are so fucking rare. It's like 0.00000000001% of the population. It's probably like 4 people in all of history that have that, right? But you're telling me this is successful enough to make a club out of it, that there's a bunch of dudes out there who are, look, goddammit, if only I had some friends who would chop my dick and balls off and then would make a salad out of it and eat it with me. How many of you out there are there, bro? How the fuck was I so naive? Are we seriously saying there's tens of thousands or like hundreds of thousands of people out there who have a fetish for cutting off their own dick and balls and then eating their balls? that people get off on watching other people get castrated? Is that really a thing? Is that really a thing? I mean, I remember being surprised just the first time I learned about feet guys existing, right? As a red-blooded American, you think, hey, man, there's two kinds of guys. There's ass guys and titty guys, right? Like, that's the, like, you fall in one of those two categories. You're either more of an ass guy or more of a titty guy. Then you learn, actually, it's a little more complicated than that. There's some dudes are feet dudes, right? You start looking at the list of fetishes that grow a little longer and longer. But we're at the point where there's a castration club. And then my other question is it a sexual thing? It almost can't be sexual, right? Because how could it be sexual if you're removing your dick and balls? Or unless do other dudes watch it and they get off to it? I literally don't know how the dynamics of this work, right? And by the way, I don't buy it. If somebody were to say, hey, this is like some trans club thing. No, it's not. No, because a lot of the people who are trans who end up getting a surgery, they can't wait to get to that other side of it, right? Hey, I'm born biologically male, but I feel female. They can't wait to present female, right? But that's what it's about. It's not about let's make a whole weird ritual or have a party or eat ball sacks together. That's not what it is, right? So what the fuck are we watching here? So I will just say this. I'm going to sleep really fucking uneasy tonight because if there are thousands of people out there into this shit, that this is their hobby, like what the fuck else are people into, right? Jesus Christ. What the fuck? And then you got to wonder how many clubs like this are out there? How many testicle salad unit clubs are out there? What else are people into? And this is the dude right here, by the way. How do you fall into this line of work, bro? Did he just wake up one day and say, hey, I want to chop off my own dick and balls. I know there's other guys out there who want to do it too and eat it. What? And then, by the way, also, it's like, okay, he's getting jail time. What exactly is the crime? I'm not saying that as in like a gotcha. I'm curious, what exactly is the crime that you're being locked up for? I may have just read it to you guys. I don't know. But if people are signing up for this shit willingly, I think it's fucking weird. I think it's gross. But, like, what's the charge? If I really want my pinky finger cut off and my buddy Dave cuts off my pinky finger, can I then go to the cops and say, hey, Dave, cut my pinky finger off. That's assault. I don't... I'm just confused in so many ways looking at this, bro. I'm just so confused. Again, I can't get over how professional this website looks. Eunuch Maker, very professional. It looks like there's this legit ass fucking like Pet Boys site or some shit, right? No disrespect to Pet Boys. I'm sure you're not chopping off dicks and balls there. And then the other body parts, I don't know, bro. You guys do whatever you want with this information, but if I had to see it, you had to see it too. I'm gonna sleep a little uneasy tonight knowing that this shit exists. Lord only knows what the fuck else exists. What else am I naive about? I'm gonna start walking around with a loaded gun, bro. that's my takeaway from this. We got a sick, sick world we live in. All right, guys, that's the show. I love y'all very much. You know the drill. Everybody click like, click subscribe, all that fun stuff. Click that bell icon so you get a notification every single time a video drops. We got Anthony Fantano coming on Grizzle Kyle and Friends this week, we think. We shall see for sure. Just keep in touch with him, make sure he remembers. And that's all I got for you guys, man. Everybody have a great rest of your day. Thank you to everybody who supports this show on Patreon. You guys make it work. I love you to death. Peace.